our last show for the year, a chance to count down the defining sporting moments in 2021. So it's almost an exercise in complete the sentence. I'll remember 2021 for. It's been an utterly memorable year in sport, disrupted substantially by COVID. Too many of our games were played in a vacuum or with minimal people present. The AFL Grand Final was staged in Perth. The NRL decider in Brisbane. The delayed Olympics went ahead quite remarkably, it should be said. It was what we needed, I think, those Olympic Games. There were soaring triumphs and blazing controversies that are still raging to this very day. At least one of them is unresolved. There remains the Ashes as the last significant event here to round out the full set. Now, this is my list. Feel free to make your own. So your soccer team winning a title in Europe isn't making this list. It's great for you, but it doesn't mean much to the rest of us. We've tried to reach a little more broadly. These are the events that, for me, will always define the sporting year of 2021. So ping them through. I'll remember 2021 for, in a sporting sense. It is rich pickings, so it is a high bar. I'm going to transport you back to some of the great moments of 2021. The top 10 defining sporting moments. At 10, Tom Brady wins Super Bowl number 7. Now, in other parts of the world, this might very well stand at number 1. Brady's phenomenal legacy as the greatest NFL player of all was forged in partnership with the New England Patriots and coach Bill Belichick. His 7th with that organisation wouldn't have meant nearly as much as it did mean elsewhere. The Patriots wanted to search for the future, and in his mid-40s, Brady's was left to choose a new home. He opted for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and recall the backdrop, many thought that he should have retired, that he was pushing it too far. First up, Brady took his new team, the least successful franchise in NFL history, to the Super Bowl. And there he would face the one player with the raw materials to one day challenge his own accomplishments and legend. And that was the figure of Patrick Mahomes. So it was a promoter's dream. It was a true battle of the generations. And Brady prevailed absolutely, and Brady prevailed magnificently.
He's given the all clear. Super Bowl 55, Mahomes versus Brady. It's underway. Brady in the shotgun, takes the snap, fakes the handoff, uses it well. Gronkowski! It's written in the stars. Brady to Gronkowski for the first touchdown of Super Bowl 55. Brady takes the snap, first and 10, looks into the end zone. He fires and makes it to Gronkowski! Rolling out the greatest hits. He goes himself, throws out, rifles it into the end zone. Touchdown, Antonio Brown. He's using all the veterans, Tom Brady. First and 10, up at the 27, handoff to Fournette. Breaks out right through the first down. He'll go all the way. Leonard Fournette. Tom Brady takes a knee, and it's a rise, Sir Tom. It's a feat that will echo across sport for eternity. The crowning glory in the legends of Tom Brady. A 7th Super Bowl title at 43, having struck out alone. And now he takes the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to glory in Super Bowl 55.
I think they're all special, and they're all, this has been an amazing year, amazing year. We got off to a good start, 7-2, and then had a little rough stretch where we kind of found our identity and played a lot better football down the last December, January, and just really proud of all the guys, proud of all the coaches, the effort we put in. We knew we were playing a great football team tonight, and we got the job done. So you want to get this far, you got to get the job done, and we did it.
It'll be top two, I'm sure, in the lists that are made in the States and in various places around the world. Because in the aftermath, Brady was spoken of as the greatest team sport athlete of all time. And his work might not be done yet. Tom Brady with his 7th Super Bowl victory. That's number 10 in the defining moments of 2021. So it was another crowning glory at number 9. That's very elegant, winning the Melbourne Cup. The nervous Nellies thought that this would be a substandard edition of a Melbourne Cup, a return to the midweek handicap derided before the race turned international. Only 2 Europeans faced the starter, given the impact of the new veterinary rules, amid much rancour from the other side of the world and more than a few misgivings at home, it's fair to say. But it gave us a safe running of the race, and that allowed us to revel in the grandeur of what happens on the track, because it was one of the great Melbourne Cups. Australia's champion racehorse running down the turf's new star, defying the best of the English staying form. In addition to the crowning moment for Very Elegant, it was the first Melbourne Cup for the country's leading trainer, Chris Waller, and our champion jockey, James McDonald, who went on to dominate Flemington like no jockey before. It served the whole event served as a reminder of how great the Melbourne Cup can be, and it eased some of the unfortunate cultural cringing.
Into the straight, Preble goes for Incentivise. He's about to shoot away at the 400. Floating Artist takes the split. Very Elegant, the champion mare, is closing from Spanish Mission. Incentivise grabbed by Very Elegant, the reigning horse of the year. She's opened up a break at the 200. Very Elegant from Incentivise, Spanish Mission and Floating Artist. It's going to be the crowning moment. Very Elegant, the mighty mare, wins the cup by four. Incentivise second, Spanish Mission third, Floating Artist ran fourth, they gapped the rest.
I just didn't think the serve would happen. Like, I ride in these races, I really want to win, but sometimes you can overthink it and over try too hard, but very confident in the mare today. Not word of a lie, the thoughts went through my mind at the 500 when I seen Incentivise getting shoved along, but I knew he would fight, so... But I thought, geez, there's not a horse that's going to come from behind me. It was only a matter of catching them. To pilot horses like Very Elegant, each and every carnival was just a huge privilege, and obviously it worked out really well for us today, but it doesn't always happen like that, and take the good with the bad, but today we're lucky enough to win a Melbourne Cup.
Look, I've seen it. I've been there every year, and the years I haven't, I've watched from afar, but I guess the last 6 or 7 years I've been at Flemington, and I've seen the media scrum around the winners and the lonely trainers, strappers, owners that get left in the mounting yard after the race. And I've been a pretty lonely man. Now, I'm not complaining. It's an amazing race. But, to get that win, it's just pretty special.
Chris Waller, James McDonald, and Very Elegant. The cup is ours. We should see our culture, our heritage, and our heroes in it. It stopped the nation long before we sought validation from the rest of the world, and it was a reminder of how great the Melbourne Cup can be, and as I say, eased some of the cultural cringing. At number 9, Very Elegant wins the Melbourne Cup. I've got at 8, Dylan Allcott completes the Golden Slam. So this is the story of a career journey, not just one magnificent year where Allcott won the lot. The quad wheelchair tennis champion had been to the cusp of the Grand Slam previously, but couldn't complete the set in New York. 2021 offered the chance to not only stitch together the 4 Grand Slam tournaments, but to add the gold medal at the Paralympics. And that's the event that truly has Dylan's heart. In February, Allcott claimed a 7th Australian Open title. By the middle of the year, when he won a 2nd Wimbledon crown, it was clear that he was on his international farewell tour. There was more than a hint in his acceptance speech and in his sipping from the victory trophy in the aftermath that would be his last trip to the All England club. For all that he's achieved, there's a special place of the Paralympics, given that his sporting journey started in wheelchair basketball and with a gold medal in Beijing when he was just a young fellow. The semi-final in Tokyo took Allcott to the edge. If there's one match from the whole set of the 5 tournaments, it's that semi-final in Tokyo. He prevailed. He went on to win the gold. He got on the plane to New York and he contemplated the deed, and then he completed it before announcing that this Australian Open will be his last.
He's got it. The charismatic Australian Dylan Allcott adds a 2nd Wimbledon crown to his bulging trophy cabinet. It's a 14th Grand Slam singles title. He retains his unbeaten Wimbledon singles record.
I'm not coming back to the Paralympics ever again. So I love the Paralympic Games so much. It means so much to me. When I was 17, I got to go with the Rollers and we won gold, and it was life-changing. But Paralympic sport in general saved my life. It did. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me. And I owe it so much. And I just took a moment out there to look around, because I just I'm so thankful and grateful that it came into my life and that I can perform on the big stage and do it with my friends and change perceptions along the way of what people think about us, people with disabilities, and not just as athletes, you know. Hopefully this is changing perceptions beyond that. Not every person with a disability can be a Paralympian, but they can be a doctor, a lawyer, a mum, a dad, a teacher, an educator, a politician, whatever it is, but they don't often get the opportunities that we've got here to play sport. And that's what we're trying to do, and I wear that. It means that much to me. Like, it's huge, and to get it done today was bloody awesome.
He's done it. And what a way to do it. It is history for Dylan Alcott. 6-2. This is a huge moment for the Australian. Get a sense of the emotion. Perhaps a touch of relief as well. The golden slam has been achieved.
I've got that as 8 in the 10 defining moments of 2021. It's a stacked year when that lands at 8. Number 7, Hawthorn jettisons Alistair Clarkson. Now, if you like the ultimate fusion of sport and politics, the end of the Clarko era at Hawthorn offered boundless fodder. It's a case that will be studied, I think, for generations to come. What was attempted owed more to a federal political coup than it did to footy. The size of the personalities played a major role. Jeff Kennett, the president, Alistair Clarkson, the most successful coach of the era, and a favourite son and premiership captain in Sam Mitchell. Kennett wanted Clarkson out, and it was nothing but a power play. Brazen, but not nearly as clever as the politician imagined. He lined up a succession plan with Mitchell to inherit the mantle. Clarkson felt like he was the last to know. It was a shotgun arrangement with only the briefest conversation before the key players, before it was announced. Kennett handpicked his audience and turned in his most condescending performance, but the tensions were real, immediate, and deep. In the manoeuvring that followed, Clarkson outpointed Kennett more completely than Steve Brax had in 1999. The succession plan didn't make it to 4 weeks. Clarkson would go with a full payout, Mitchell would be damaged on his way into the job, and Kennett would be forced from office by the supporters who understood exactly what had transpired.
When Alistair's contract expires at the end of 22, we will not be reappointing him. We believe we've got to put in place someone who's heading coaching that will lead us through the next decade, in the same way that when Alistair came here in 2004.
Sam, have you suggested you want to be Hawthorn coach next year and would prefer Alistair Clarkson not be at the Hawks?
Absolutely not. But I kind of get a bit pissed off with people saying that. The fact that people would say that I'm trying to push him out is disrespectful to both of us. The only people that are saying it's not going to work out like that are people with a genuine lack of knowledge who say they're speaking to people at the club. But every piece of evidence says the contrary. I'm not worried about leaks because they're pretend. They're people who heard second or third or fourth hand, or some of the stuff is blatantly made up. And I'd say a vast majority of it has been blatantly made up.
I don't think we've misled the members. We've done what we thought was the best thing. We thought it would work. As it's turned out, it's caused a lot of confusion. No one's perfect. I accept responsibility for that. We adjust.
And the hard part for me is I've never wanted to abandon the vision I had for the O'Meara's and that sort of stuff, the chance that they had to try to do something special with this club, and I couldn't just bring myself to just walk out on that. So it was probably always going to be, you know, if it wasn't now, then I get to, you know, the trade period and we bring someone else in for the same, yeah, same message would be sold to them, and my loyalty to them, their loyalty to me, it's just like, we're going to do this together, can you help us? You know, just like it was with Josh Gibson and Brian Lake and David Hale and all these other guys along the journey. It's just like, so it was probably always going to be, in a sense, that they were going to have to tiptoe me because I just couldn't walk out on those relationships. Tremendously excited, as my family are, with what the next chapter might look like and where that might take us. And but yeah, you can't be in a place for 17 years and not be touched by this sense of finality that's going to come.
That's at 7 for me. Hawthorn jettisons Alistair Clarkson. So 10, Tom Brady wins the 7th Super Bowl. 9, Very Elegant's triumph in the Melbourne Cup. 8, Dylan Alcott completes the Grand Slam. 7, Hawthorn jettisons Alistair Clarkson. The 10 defining moments of the sporting year 2021. Complete that sentence and ping them through. When I think of 2021, I will most remember. Last show for the year, counting down the top 10 defining moments in sport in 2021. Pinging through your thoughts as we go. I'll collect them and share them with you at the end of the countdown. Number 6, Tim Payne resigns the Australian Test captaincy. So it was a sleepy Friday afternoon. An abrupt and brief press conference is called. Tim Payne announces his immediate resignation. And the reason? A texting scandal. And in doing so, he became the second successive captain to leave that office in disgrace. An Australian captain had never departed in such humiliating circumstances. And it is a tawdry story that is ripping at the sport. A previous investigation found that Payne had not breached the code of conduct. It didn't last an hour in the public glare. Cricket Australia then stunningly declared that it would make the opposite decision presented with the same facts and without any change to the integrity inquiry of the time. The previous chairman condemned the interim chair. Tasmania accused the governing body of the worst treatment of a captain since Bill Laurie half a century ago. And Cricket Australia again finds itself on public trial for its dealings. Regardless of where the blame is apportioned, it damages the sport immeasurably. And 2 weeks out from an Ashes summer, the second most important role in the country lies vacant.
On reflection, my actions in 2017 do not meet the standard of an Australian cricket captain or the wider community. I'm deeply sorry for the hurt and pain that I've caused to my wife, my family and to the other party. I'm sorry for any damage that this does to the reputation of our sport, and I believe that it is the right decision for me to stand down as captain, effective immediately. I'm grateful for the support of my teammates and proud of what we've been able to achieve together. To them, I ask for their understanding and forgiveness. To Australian cricket fans, I'm deeply sorry that my past behaviour has impacted our game on the eve of the Ashes. For the disappointment I have caused to fans and the entire cricket community, I apologise. I will remain a committed member of the Australian cricket team and look forward with anticipation to what is a huge Ashes tour.
While I cannot speak about the original decision-making in 2018, what I can say is faced with the same circumstances and with the benefit of all the relevant information about this matter, Cricket Australia would not make the same decisions today. I acknowledge the decision clearly sent the wrong message to the sport, to the community and to Tim, that this kind of behaviour is acceptable and without serious consequences. The role of the Australian cricket captain must be held to the highest standards.
I think there's a level of frustration amongst certainly the players and Tim, and I think a lot of people in the cricketing public about this whole matter from start to finish. And, you know, I think all of us felt a sense of sadness last week when Tim stood down. There's no doubt about that.
Someone should have been asking the question and providing an answer at that stage is, when it becomes public, what is our position? Having said that it's not a sacking offence, when it becomes public, what are we going to say? And this is where Cricket Australia has fallen down. They don't seem to have asked and answered that question, or at least relayed that to the incoming chairman. So the answer to that question at that stage is we supported him in 2018. He was a fit and proper person to be captain at that stage. Nothing has changed except it's become public. So we support him. We continue to support him and he continues as captain. And I think that's where it's all gone off the rails.
It's cricket's defining moment, regrettably, in the calendar year, and it eclipses the World Cup win, which had just been 5 days previous. Cricket in Australia squandered that glow, and I've got Tim Payne's resignation as the Australian captain as number 6 in the defining moments of 2021. Now, number 5, this is probably my favourite moment, but trying to use the definition that I've put around it, I've got Jess Fox finally wins Olympic gold. So this is quintessential in how we follow in Olympic Games. It's doubtful that any of us watched a frame of slalom, canoeing or kayaking in the 5 years previous, but we knew of Jess Fox and we knew of her quest. And there we were riding every gate with Fox, swerving left and right in the rapids and holding our collective breath through the most tense 105 seconds of the games. Fox had lived the agony of narrow defeat in the K1 final on a Tuesday, and that was felt right across the nation. She touched the penultimate gate, and it cost her the gold that she'd been striving for her entire career. She hid the hurt and pretended that silver was okay publicly, but then had to put herself back together for the C1 competition, a discipline that was only included in the Olympics because of her advocacy for equality with her male contemporaries. And she had the sheer nerve to stare down and then seize her destiny. I feel like in years to come, it'll be used as an example of an athlete dealing with acute disappointment on a short timeline and then recovering to succeed. And her exuberant leap on the podium and her beaming smile put a tear in every eye back home. Even her father, Richard, well, his call of the run on Channel 7, the calm that he instilled in it, it's all become the stuff of legend.
Into the final upstream gate. The time is looking strong for Jessica Fox. One gate to come. Fox is flying towards the line. Is this the moment she's dreamt of her entire career? She hits the line. She's got it. Just shines like gold to become the Olympic champion. She is a wonder water on the woman on the water. What a performance.
She's deserved it. She'll be so happy. She's so gracious when she doesn't get it. But, yeah, I don't really know what to say. I mean, she was magnificent. That was such a tough course, such a tough run. It was a great race from Mallory. It was a target. I think it was good for her to have to chase a big score. But, yeah, wow.
I don't think I watched like a coach. I was full of emotion as soon as she passed, you know, the tricky gate. And, I'm not like that usually, but today I think it was really special.
Overwhelmed with emotion. I mean, it was insane to be able to hold it together and go last off. Is just, I can't believe that she could pull that off, but incredible style, and we're so happy.
It's just been incredible. I don't think I've had a moment of really taking it in, but I tell you what, crossing that finish line, I did realize what had just happened, and it was all the emotions, and to be able to share it with, you know, my mum, my sister, my whole team, and then to feel so much love and support from Australia, it's just incredible.
This might be my favorite moment. I've got it as number 5 in the defining moments of 2021, Jess Fox finally winning Olympic gold. Those emotions are so easy to tap into from the time, the anguish of the Tuesday and just the sheer joy of the Thursday, but more particularly the tension of the run. The countdown of the 10 defining moments of the sporting year brings us to number 4, and the Boomers claim their first Olympic medal. Not all triumph at the Olympics is coloured gold. Maybe for a little while Australia lost sight of that. You have to risk having your heart ripped out to ultimately let your spirit soar, both as a participant and as a fan. That was the Boomers in Tokyo. A semi-final date with the might of the US, a team that Australia had beaten in a warm-up tournament and an exhibition match. But after a promising start that tempted you to believe, it became a gruesome pummeling. The Boomers know a bit about enduring pain through a 65-year odyssey. It bound the generations together that had worn that singlet. Paddy Mills wanted his contemporaries to understand the journey and what they represented beyond themselves. And Brian Gorgon, as coach, he took the cues to cast off the disappointment and challenge the team to complete the mission in the bronze medal match. Against Slovenia, Mills was epic. An emotion poured forth at the final buzzer. The tears of the Boomers in Tokyo were matched by those of Andrew Gaze in the television studio that we all got to share in real time. It was a moment that touched us all.
And after 65 years of blood, sweat and plenty of tears, the Australian men's basketball team's crusade to stand on the Olympic podium has finally delivered. The Boomers have claimed the bronze medal as they defeat Slovenia here by 14 points.
We've been waiting for this moment for a long time, and, you know, it's taken a lot of experiences, a lot of ups, a lot of downs, for us to get over the hump. And it's our culture at the end of the day. It's our Australian culture, our Aussie spirit. It's the boys being able to hang together and understand the meaning of what it means to represent your country and how deep the layers go. I don't know whether to cry, laugh, smile, but it's time to bring an Olympic medal home. Back to our country, Australia.
We got a special vibe here. When you get punched in your face, what does an Aussie do? Where does an Aussie go? What is this culture? And I pressed those buttons hard in the locker room. I pressed those buttons hard the next day. Then we discussed, hey, Patty, Joe, ball's in your hands. We're defending Luka, and we're coming out of this thing with it. There's no other option than that medal. And I had their attention, and I had the main guy's support. But to say after that loss, Bogut mentioned it, where do you go? I just think it's all bullshit. You know, you go and you wash your face, get up in the morning, and go get that budget medal.
You don't have to win a medal to have a beautiful journey. And it's about what we want to stand for in representing Australia and representing this sport. And I think of those that have been along for the journey, that have their DNA on this. There's so many that you look back on that toiled when you don't get a cent for playing the game. When you're building stadiums, you're building a sport, you're trying to generate it. And for me, I am so grateful that, and it is tough, but I'm incredibly grateful.
Hasn't it been an emotional year? Think about all that's been stitched into these so far. So at four, the Boomers claim their first Olympic medal. The top three defining moments of 2021 coming up next. You can ping through your thoughts as we go. I'll share yours. Don't make your own list rather than be angry about mine. Top 10 countdown of defining moments from 2021. Number three, Melbourne's drought-breaking AFL premiership. Now, in a field so deep, there are no guarantees a domestic football premiership would find a place, but Melbourne's triumph was no ordinary victory. Not when you're laying to rest the curse of Norm Smith after 57 painful years, and not when it happens in such a seismic way, and not when it unlocks the most beautiful emotions in the Melbourne community. Family stories, tales across generations. It seemed to reaffirm why sport means so much to the people of this city, and it was experienced on the other side of the country. Still, in almost every neighbourhood, red and blue adorns fences and doors and walls, and these events live so vividly in the minds of the Melbourne faithful.
Well, they've got to look for a moment, and Harms able to break clear. Rourke Smith trying to tackle. Fritchell marked this on the chest. It was a beautifully placed ball into the 50 by Harms. Cool heads prevailing, and they were desperately needed. But this shot from Bailey Fritch, so critical. 35 metres out away to the right. It suits his left boot. He's nursed it home for his third.
Jackson into the middle. Oliver gathers the footy. Hand pass to Petrarca. A clean exit. Kick to full forward. Fritch on the fly. Thwarted by Max. It won't matter. The number 31's kicked his fourth.
Ben Brown. No one really knew whether to fly or not. Petrarca! Christian Petrarca rises to the moment. He's dribbled one from the pocket. The man built to be a star on grand final day.
Inside the final minute of the third term of the Makita Rule, the outdoors clock. Finally up to Petrarca, out the front to Oliver. Links it up with Sparrow from 50 to the teeth of goal. And through! It just kept flying!
Still 25 seconds to go. And it's again a trademark demon release. Jackson, Oliver! Straight through the middle for another one. It's a procession of possessions and goals. And the Demons come up smiling again. It is a devastating run before three-quarter time.
As the clock ticks down, the tears well up. Keep your eye on the red and the blue. At the final bell, it's a grand new flag. 57 years of torment eased and a curse lifted as McDonald puts the last flourish straight through the middle. Melbourne are premiers in 2021. The Demons win the Western Grand Final by a stunning 74 points.
I had tears before the game even started. And I was laying on my bed crying, just thinking of just how proud I was of the group. You know, I spoke to them in the team meeting last night and I got a little bit emotional there.
because of how far they've come, you know, 2 years ago we were 17th. It's a long way back to the top, and to play the way we played, it's a big rise.
Lastly, after 57 years of pain, it's coming home.
If it didn't involve tears, it didn't make the lists. Number two, Ash Barty wins Wimbledon. The All England grass courts have had such a hold on our sporting imaginations forever. Watching events from the other side of the world in the wee hours, that's one of the great charms of being an Australian sports fan. And Ash Barty represents the best of us as a sporting nation. The modern personification of the old world charms that we cherish. Barty had dared to share her dream of winning Wimbledon, and that gave us all a stake in her quest. And it was just so beautiful. She wore the replica dress of Yvonne Goolagong-Cawley from her triumph 50 years ago, and she emulated the Pat Cash climb into the famous grandstands. It was one of the great sporting moments.
Second serve for Barty for the championship. Pliskova's backhand goes to the slice of Barty up the middle of the court. Pliskova's forehand is in. Exchange from the back. Pliskova into the net, and Ash Barty is a Wimbledon champion.
A dream comes true. Australia's Ash Barty is Wimbledon champion. To make that run that Pat Cash so famously did for the first time, and another Aussie gets the opportunity. Ash Barty, you are a champion. We are so proud of you.
I think I've just tried to live by my values that my parents instilled in me, and it's more important to be a good person than it is a good tennis player. So I think that's always my priority, is making sure that I'm a good human being, and being able to learn from my parents and my siblings and my family was a massive part of my upbringing, and I was just extremely lucky that I was able to have an opportunity to learn how to play the game of tennis. But I think being a good human being is absolutely my priority every single day.
And it's a lovely tribute to one of your heroines, your mentors, Yvonne Goolagong-Cawley, 50 years ago since she won her first Wimbledon title. And I know she means just a big part. She means a lot to you.
She does. I just I hope I made Yvonne proud.
Tears, that's the theme. I felt for sure when that happened it would be number one. But number one is Ariane Titmus beating Katie Ledecky in the race of the Olympics. It had been foretold for 2 years in the build-up. The greatest female distance swimmer in history against the Australian who coveted the crown. It was built into the psyche of both athletes, and it was embedded as a source of national pride in their respective countries.
She's right up on the shoulder of the great American now. 20 gold medals at Olympic and World Championship level. Now nothing between them. 350
now. She's in front
now.
For the first time.
50 to go.
This is going to be a sprint now. What can Arnie bring out here?
This is what they've waited for. Here we go. The sprint to the end. Can she be beaten? Katie Ledecky, the defending champion, the world record holder. Ariane Titmus in front. Match race down to the end. Stroke for stroke. She's in front. Arnie Titmus. Ariane gets in front. To become a legend, you have to beat a legend. And that's what we've seen. Australia win gold. Ariane Titmus. Confirmation. A coronation. We can start the celebration for Australia. Arnie gets it done. Gold in the 400 free. She beats Katie Ledecky.
Hey, I can't believe it. I've lost my voice now. I cannot believe it. Wow. Unbelievable. Just quite extraordinary. She's done it. She's actually done it. Wow.
I'm just so proud of it. That 100 metres, the last 100. God, she can race. She dug in. She never gave up. She so deserves this, her and Dean. I am so delighted for them.
You know, I'm going to try not to tear up, but I will have this bond with Arnie for life. And I just absolutely love her to death. She's just a great character. Just a great girl.
It means everything to me. I mean, this is not just something where you rock up and just swim your best over eight laps and try and be enough to win the gold medal. Dean and I had made this plan probably 5 years ago. You know, I was a long way off Katie 5 years ago, but we made this plan, and every year I was getting closer and closer, and I didn't think that it was possible until a couple of years ago when I beat her in 2019. But, you know, it's a lot of work. And I don't think anyone will understand, unless they've been through it, what it actually takes to take out the best. And, yeah, it was more than anything relief that we did it.
God, she can race, the words of her mum. The added bonus in that, if you needed a tiebreaker, was we got to meet Dean Boxall, who became our national motivator in chief. And don't tell me you haven't been saying to yourself at some stage since, don't be weak. That's my list, top 10 defining moments. I'll recap it for you shortly. So my list, the top 10 defining moments of the sporting year 2021. Ariane Titmus beats Katie Ledecky in the race of the games. Ash Barty wins Wimbledon at 2. Melbourne's drought-breaking AFL premiership at 3. The Boomers win their first Olympic medal was 4. Jess Fox finally wins Olympic gold at 5. Tim Payne resigns as Australian Test captain at 6. Hawthorn jettisons Alistair Clarkson at 7. Dylan Alcott completes the Golden Slam at 8. 9 was Very Elegant wins the Melbourne Cup, and 10 Tom Brady wins his 7th Super Bowl. There's a lot on the periphery that were in and out. I'll share a few of those with you. No apologies, it's my list. You can make your list and stack up where you think they should be.